We're live in the Iconic studio this afternoon, powered by Iconic Electric and Controls. Telecommunications, it's Iconic. Contact them today at iconicec.ca. Okay, where are we with the Flames right now? That's where we'll kick off the program today. Where do things sit with the Calgary Flames right now? It's a little bit more than 48 hours into free agency and approaching a week since they drafted Matthew Coronato in the first round last Friday night. So here is your summary in, and I know that I'll miss a few from some of the depth signings, but these are the ones that impact the NHL roster both in and out. In, Blake Coleman, Trevor Lewis, Tyler Pitlick, Nikita Zadorov, those are your four players in. And on the way out, Josh Levo, Derek Ryan, Joachim Nordstrom, and of course the captain, Mark Giordano. That's the big names that have gone out. No disrespect to any of the other players that have also left the organization, but again, regulars or somewhat regulars impacting the NHL roster. That's kind of your in and out. Here's Brad Treliving with Rob Kerr this morning on Boomer in the Morning. A bit of a summary on what we've seen so far and maybe what might still need to happen between now and the start of training camp.
We tried to make sure that Mark wasn't going to leave us. In the reality with the expansion draft and the way we were set up, that was going to require us to either pay a price that just was not, I couldn't fathom doing that. And it would have been the wrong thing for the organization. When you start talking about, you know, high multiple draft picks, it was just that was a, as difficult a decision it was the right decision for the organization. So we knew that we were going to undergo some change there. I like our forward group. I like what we've added with not only the players and where they fit, but the types of people they are. We've got some winning pedigree that has come in. You know, I think even a guy like Nikita, who's got 400 NHL games, you know, there's growth for him. We're excited about the new players we've added. Having said that, I know that, you know, the weeks now that we've got left before training camp are still, you know, we need to continue to try to make our group better here. So that's what we'll do. Excited about the players that we've added, but there's still some work to be done.
So that is the general manager, Brad Treliving, from this morning with Rob Kerr on Boomer in the Morning. It's up on sportsnet.ca/960. You clearly get the feeling that, you know, he's not done yet. The team's not done yet. There's still more to do. And at the very least, they would like to do one or two more things between now and the start of training camp and as the offseason continues. And I think you have to point directly to the blue line as, you know, and we'll get into kind of the bullet points or the roadmap in just a second. But I think that if you were to just take a look at the team on paper and take out any potential core-shaking move, foundation-altering move, yeah, they probably aren't as deep on the blue line and aren't where they want to be on defense as they'd like to be. Here's Elliot Friedman, also with the gents this morning, and kind of a look at where the Flames are, what he's hearing, and what might still be to come, to piggyback on what we just heard from the general manager.
I had heard Ryan Murray's name linked to you. I don't know if that's going to happen, but I heard that a few days ago. I admit, yeah, I haven't followed it up in the last 48 hours. You know, Eichel, I think you've been one of the teams that's in it. You know, I don't know what the price is aside to know that it's prohibitive. Mm-hmm. It would be a big price for you guys to pay to get them, but yep, I think you guys have been around it. You know, I think he's worked really hard. I think he's grinded very hard on trying to find some things for your team. I know they've talked to Goodrow about an extension. I don't know where that stands right now. I just think the thing is, like, I look at your group and I look at the guys you've brought in, like Sutter loves Trevor Lewis. Blake Coleman, yeah, is a Sutter player. Zadorov is a mean guy. He can be a bit of an adventure with the puck sometimes, but he's a mean guy. Like, you guys have a type, and or Sutter at least has a type, and you guys have gone for it. You guys are going to be a smothering team over the next little while.
That is Elliot Friedman on what is still to come and what might still be to come from the Calgary Flames. Ryan Murray, a really interesting target to me. I think an addition like a Ryan Murray, along with the acquisition of Nikita Zadorov, like that would really help to ease the loss of Mark Giordano. Again, as Brad said, as we've said, as many people have said, you're not replacing Gio player for player. You're not going to go out and find somebody in free agency or find somebody that you can just bring in that is going to replace what Mark Giordano brought to this team over the last number of years. And even a 37-year-old Mark Giordano this past season was the best or one of the two best defensemen on the team. He played the toughest minutes on the team. At even strength, he played the number one power play and he played the number one penalty kill. Like, you don't replace what he does for this team on the ice with Zadorov or with Murray. You know, you would add, if they were to get a guy like Murray, or maybe it's a trade elsewhere, I don't know. But if they were to add another defenseman, left or right side, it still goes back to the idea of replacing Giordano and moving forward from Gio by committee, because nobody's replacing him straight up. But yeah, definitely in free agency anyway, Murray has to be the guy that I would say would be the big, and I don't know. I mean, I was listening to the DFO podcast with Frank Saravelli earlier today, and sounds like there are teams interested in him. Sounds like Edmonton was around Ryan Murray, but they've backed off, obviously, with their revamping of their blue line. Elliot just talked about how Calgary is has been or was connected to Murray. The Devils, who had him last year, really liked Murray, but may not be able to bring him back, or that might not happen. But they were really impressed with the work ethic and the professionalism. Now, the knock on Murray, the worry, I'm not trying to rhyme on purpose. The concern on Murray, how's that, is that we're talking about a guy that has a significant injury history. So how much are you willing to commit? How long maybe is the better question? Are you willing to commit to a guy like Murray? So that would be the guy for me. But the Flames have left themselves some flexibility here. They've got about $13 million right now on the salary cap. We know it's going to be a flat cap for this year. That flexibility is, I think, first of all, first and foremost, I don't believe it is a, you know, I don't think we're talking about some sort of fluke that all of a sudden they've left themselves with, I guess it's now just over $12 million that they've got in cap space. So around $12 million in cap space they've got right now. That gives them flexibility to make a big move, whether it is Jack Eichel, which I know that I read my Twitter mentions, I see our text line, I see what's happening in the online communities. I know that people are absolutely frothing at the mouth at the possibility the Flames might acquire Jack Eichel. I don't know whether they're going to or not. I believe that they're in the conversation, or at the very least, I believe that they have been around it. You just heard Elliot say the same thing. Yeah, I believe that they are one of the teams that has showed significant interest in Eichel. They're not the only team. It's not like this is a one-horse race and it's Brad Treliving's job to win here or trade to win here. But yes, I do think that Eichel is a possibility. I don't know what I would put the odds at, but yeah, I think it is a somewhat realistic possibility that that could happen. But whether it's him or whether it is another significant move, maybe it's a move on the blue line, maybe it's one of those moves that we've been talking about with, just for instance, let's take, say that somebody else gets Eichel, but the Flames still want to make a significant move elsewhere, and they move out one of their core forwards, and they can bring in some help as part of that trade on the blue line, and to make the salaries work, you might have to do a couple of things here and there. They've got the flexibility to do that is what is important when it comes to looking at that $12 million. And the other thing that is important to think about is the fact that they do still need a good chunk of that cap space to get some jobs done with players that they have on the roster. And again, taking a potential Jack Eichel trade out of the conversation, let's just pretend that is not on the table, because as of right now, Jack Eichel's a member of the Buffalo Sabres. All we can do is look at the Flames as they're constructed right now and what's on the roster right now. They've got three RFAs that we expect to be regular members of the roster next year that need to be signed. You've got Zadorov, who they just acquired on Wednesday, and then you've got Dylan Dubé and Yusuf Alamaki. And just ballparking, and thinking about it, I know that Zadorov's camp, there was at least some reporting out there that suggested his camp might be looking at $5 million. That seems a little unrealistic. So let's say instead of a $5 million AAV, let's ballpark it around $4 million. He was qualified at 3.2, so let's say the Flames get a deal done. I don't know what they're looking at or what the conversations would be, but let's just ballpark that at $4 million for Zadorov. Let's ballpark Dylan Dubé. I thought the Philip Cheadle deal that was signed with the Rangers yesterday is a decent guy that you can look at and say, okay, that's somewhat comparable. Comparable numbers, comparable paths, comparable games played, so on and so forth. Cheadle got $2.3 million times two in New York, so that sounds like a comparable. Let's just ballpark because it's a round number. Let's say $2.5 million for Dubé on a two-year deal. So now you're looking at $2.5 plus $4, $6.5 million, and then let's throw another $1.5 million on, say, a two-year deal for Valimaki, just based on projecting and how these deals get done. Maybe we're a little high, but I think it's better to go high than to go low, so it gives you an idea of what you might be working with. You add that $1.5 million, and my rudimentary math skills would tell me 4, 2.5, and $1.5 million gives us $8 million. So now, all of a sudden, the Flames are left with about $4 million in cap space, which is still decent wiggle room if they want to do something this offseason, if they want to do something once we get into the regular season, and that's a good chunk of cap that you can start to put towards your daily accrual. And now, all of a sudden, come next year's trade deadline, if you're working with around $4 million of cap space, then you could be landing a big fish at the deadline and doing so pretty easily. But I guess the big thing for me is keeping that flexibility is important, whether it's for maneuvering on an Eichel trade. Let's not forget, Eichel's 8 times 10. It's not 8 anymore, but it's a $10 million cap hit. Or if it's something else, something else that we haven't talked about, something else that we haven't thought about, but that was thought about behind closed doors and something that they're tracking down. That cap space, I think, will be important for the team. A few texts before we move on at 960-960. It's Steinberg along with you on the big show this afternoon. First of all, this says, I like what Treliving has done so far, but feels incomplete. Feels like there's more to come. I find it a little hard to believe that we're talking about the blue line looking exactly the way that it does right now come the start of training camp. I still think there's probably moves to be made in that regard. And then a couple of people that are out on the Eichel front. And this is a somewhat contentious one among Flames fans. This says if the Flames land Eichel, it'll set the franchise back 7 years. Seems like somewhat of a arbitrary number, setting him back 7 years, but I understand the point that the texter's trying to make. And then this one, a $10 million player with a neck injury will hamstring the Flames' salary cap for the next decade. It's too much risk. Bad move, Calgary. Do not do it. What I would say on Eichel is that if you're a team that... Let's talk about the Flames. If you're the Flames and you are confident that Jack Eichel is going to be able to come back at 100%. And this is where, you know, we can talk on the outside. I don't think either of those two texts I read are from doctors. And if they are, I apologize, but I don't think those were medical doctors. I know that I have not gone through the process to be a medical doctor. So I'm going to trust Buffalo's team doctors. I'm going to trust, for this hypothetical conversation, Calgary's team doctors. So in trusting medical staffs, if the Flames doctors, in consultation with the Sabres doctors, if they were to make a move for Eichel and they were confident that whenever he's finished recovering from whatever neck procedure that he has to get done, if you're confident he's coming back on 100%, then I think you make the deal within reason. And I always state that because no, I'm not suggesting they trade every first-round pick for the next 10 years and Tkachuk and Gaudreau and Coronado. It has to be within reason. But assuming a reasonable or within-reason deal, yeah, I think you make that move if you're the Flames. I do. If the deal is not astronomical, if the price is not ridiculously prohibitive, and you have medical sign-off that you're going to be able to get this guy at 100% midway through the season, a month into the season, whenever, I think you do it. Because it's very clear the Flames are trying to get better next year, get back to the playoffs. They've gone out and committed 6 years to Blake Coleman. They're going to, I firmly believe they're going to at some point extend Johnny Gaudreau. So if you're making those two moves, and you've got Matthew Tkachuk still under team control, you're going for it. Like, you're trying to get back to the playoffs. You might as well go all in. I've seen the term used on Twitter many times of pushing chips to the middle. I've believed for the last number of months that rebuilding is the way to go for the Flames, also realizing that's not the way that they're going to go right now. Well, they're not going that way. So you might as well, if you're not going to do it, you might as well take the home run swing. And you might as well bring a guy in, if you can, and if that deal's on the table, you might as well pull the trigger on a guy like Eichel. Again, that's a lot of hypothetical, that's a lot of speculative talk. I don't know if the deal is on the table. I think that, you know, there's plenty of innuendo out there that would suggest a lot of teams have backed off on the Eichel conversation for now. But I think you do push chips in if you're the Flames at this point. You've already gone out and committed 6 years to a guy who turns 30 in November. And while I said yesterday, I stand by it, I'm not worried about or as worried about that contract as I have been other long-term deals signed for guys in the same age range in recent years. But that still is a six-year commitment for a guy that turns 30 in November. And it's a big commitment at $4.9 million per year. And if you're going to commit $8.5 million on a seven-year deal for Johnny Gaudreau, if we're ballparking in that range, I don't know, is it nine, is it eight, is it eight and a half? But if you're going to do that too, getting a guy like Eichel is going to make you that much better. So again, you gotta, I would suggest that on the outside, the neck injury is a factor. But whatever team ends up acquiring Eichel, I think you have to trust your medical staff that they know what they're talking about, as opposed to trusting people like me or trusting people on the text line, so on and so forth. A couple of other texts, 960-960. Acquiring Eichel will set the Flames back 6.2763 years. Yes, there is. We had 7 years, we had a decade, and now this tongue-in-cheek. 6.2763 years. Wedley says, "No, I'm not a doctor, but I am the doctor of thugonomics like John Cena." No, there's only one doctor of thugonomics. This was the original entrance theme for John Cena.
You think you're on?
Nice job, Patty DeMar, reading the text line and being ready.
My favorite Cena. Everybody's favorite.
This was the best Cena.
Oh, of course.
Now, I'm not as up on Cena now. I know that he just got a huge pop when he came back. And usually, we all know the guy gets booed. Anyway, I digress. Pat, remember, Eichel at this point may not be available until March at least. So basically, you lose him for most of the season. It's kind of scary. Now, can they make the playoffs without him most of the season? That's the key. I don't know. We don't know the timeline on Eichel. We know if he gets that neck fusion, which is what the Sabres wanted him to get, that he's out long-term. The disc replacement surgery, I don't think we have a bona fide, defined timeline for when he would come back. So I don't know how long he's going to be out. I do know that if you're a team acquiring Eichel, if you're the Ducks, the Wild, the Flames, the Golden Knights, the Hurricanes, whoever ends up getting Eichel, you better do it soon to minimize how much you don't have him in your lineup for this year. But yeah, there's definitely that uncertainty. This says, how deep can the Flames dig into his injuries? I don't know. On the other side, imagine Eichel and Johnny playing together. And I think that is something that a lot of Flames fans who are hoping that Eichel ends up landing here are excited about. Pat, why do you think the Flames decided not to rebuild anyways? I mean, you don't see a lot of Canadian teams rebuild. In Canadian markets, the pressure to win, the pressure to make money, all that type of stuff, you don't see it very often regardless. I mean, usually you're talking about, look at the teams that are rebuilding right now. Aside from the Sabres, who are in a pretty passionate market, but really don't have a choice with how bad they've been for the last decade, it's Columbus and it's Arizona. They're the teams that are truly rebuilding right now. So smaller NHL markets, I feel like it's a little easier for them to get away with it. It's more difficult in big markets. And even in Toronto, they had to sell that pretty hard to fans. And they also, you know, Austin Matthews arrived there and scored 4 goals in his first game. That rebuild didn't last as long as, you know, maybe people thought it might. More text later on. Last topic we'll hit this segment. What is going on with these massive deals for defensemen right now? Zach Werenski's the latest. Last night signs at 6 years, $9.583 million on the cap hit. Big win for the Blue Jackets. We talked a lot about how re-signing Gaudreau in this market would be a big win, where small markets and specifically Canadian teams too, it has been a little difficult for them to retain players. So retaining guys with unrestricted free agency, not that far off in their future, sometimes a big win. Well, Werenski 2 years away from free agency, and the Blue Jackets able to retain him. I mean, that's a big win. They had to pay through the nose to do it. He's now the third highest paid defenseman in the NHL, at least by cap hit. But good on the Blue Jackets for getting the job done. Here's why, even with the exodus of players we've seen over the last couple of years, including Seth Jones to Chicago, here's Werenski on why he decided to lock up for the next 7 years. He's got 1 year left on his deal and then a 6-year extension.
First and foremost, I love Columbus. You know, it's kind of where I grew up. You know, like, I joined the league at 19. I'm 24 now. Spent my whole career here, and it's been nothing but good to me and my family. And it's a place that, you know, I've always enjoyed. So, you know, obviously I'm extremely happy to be there for 7 more years. In terms of the changes, obviously that stuff happens. We've seen it, you know, time and time again in Columbus, and guys come and go, and it's part of the business. But after seeing what they did last week with the draft and players we got and the direction this team's headed, talking with Larson, Voracek, Booner, just talking with the guys, you know, I fully believe in it, and I believe in the plan, and I think this thing's headed in the right direction.
That's Werenski today, or is it Lyos today? They did the news conference today with him and Jarmo Kekalainen. I always forget if it was the night before or today. The news was yesterday, the news conference today. Good on Columbus for keeping him. And I will say, like, for a team that is clearly rebuilding, I think you can put a lot of trust in Jarmo Kekalainen and what he can do. And he's got some cards stacked against him at times. It's not always the easiest conditions to build winners in Columbus, but I do think that guy's got a really solid plan. Credit to Chris Johnston on Twitter last night. 5 of the 9 highest AAVs on the blue line in the league have been signed in the last few weeks, starting with Miro Heiskanen. Since Heiskanen signed his deal earlier in July, 5 of the top 9 AAVs in the NHL have been signed in July. Werenski now 3rd. The top 2 have been signed for a while. Carlson 1, Doughty 2. But since that time, Werenski slots in at 3rd. He's at 9.583 over 6 years. Seth Jones next at 9.5 over 8 years. Dougie Hamilton sits 6th at $9 million over 7 years, tied with Cale Makar, $9 million over 6 years. And there's Haskin in 9th with an $8.45 million cap hit over 8 years. So in the last month, last few weeks, Werenski, Jones, Dougie, Makar, Haskinen have all signed, and they have all put themselves in the top 9 for AAVs in the NHL. Hard to wrap your head around. It has been a good summer if you're a promising young defenseman. I don't necessarily have a prevailing theory as to why. I think there's a couple of things that pop into my head. A flat cap, I think, puts the impetus even more on signing guys long-term and having cost certainty for the next few years. Even when the flat cap is done, we don't know what the steps forward are going to look like. We don't know how many bumps forward or how many increases we're going to see. So I think that influences it. And I also think we are talking about a pretty golden age of young defensemen in the NHL. And there were a few drafts there where there were just nothing but blue chip NHL defensemen coming out of it. And so I think the timing of that mixed with a flat cap maybe leads to it. But there you go. 5 of the top 9 AAVs among blue liners in the NHL have been signed this